You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Today we're going to talk about labor, particularly farm work. Workers in one of the country's biggest fruit-growing companies have officially ousted their union, the UFW, United Farm Workers, founded by Cesar Chavez. That fruit grower is called Garawan Farming, and it employs almost 5,000 workers over 70 farms across the Central Valley. Many, if not most, of those workers are undocumented immigrants from Latin America, and unions can provide legal protections in working situations where exploitation is often an issue. But the farm workers voted against unionizing back in 2013, and subsequently the UFW disputed that election. They said it was unlawfully influenced by the employer's fear-mongering and anti-union campaign. So after 5 years of dueling lawsuits, the Agriculture Labor Relations Board, that's the court for farm labor disputes, it finally ruled to uphold the results of the election. KALW's economy reporter Liza Veal wanted to know why so many workers would vote against unionizing, especially in a place where the farm worker movement has such a strong legacy. For that, she takes us to Fresno.
Fresno County has been a hub for immigrant workers since the 1930s, and while there's still not much of a middle class there, by some measurements, conditions for immigrants are better than they once were. Farm workers used to be excluded from the labor protections that were guaranteed to most other workers. They were denied things like minimum wage, job security, and legal collective bargaining. That's changed, in large part, thanks to Cesar Chavez and the United Farm Worker Movement. But if you ask Sylvia Lopez, she'll say these days, the UFW isn't improving the livelihoods of farm workers in the Central Valley. She was a leader in the long, long battle to kick the UFW off Garawan Farming.
Because I think being a union, giving your money away, is being slaves.
Lopez picks fruit for Garawan Farming, and she helps out at her daughter's tortilla shop. She kept offering to warm one up for me. And she's also president of a controversial advocacy group called Pick Justice, which was formed specifically to help Garawan workers fight the UFW. And though they say Pick Justice is a grassroots, farmworker-led group, it was founded by a young political consultant named Jesse Rojas.
I didn't have the honor of working in the fields, but my parents did.
Rojas says the union has done a bad job of representing workers.
It's like a product, right? If these tortillas are not good, nobody's going to buy them. They're really good, so she's always sold out. But when something doesn't work, then people don't want it.
Here's the quick background you need to understand the vote to oust or decertify the UFW. The union actually first came to Garawan over 25 years ago. And back then, the workers voted to unionize. And what typically happens next is the union gets the employer to agree to a contract. You know, here are the wages, here are the benefits, here are the conditions. That never happened. Rojas has always said that the union just disappeared.
They have never been able to prove that it's in a telegram, a smoke signal, a text message, or a phone call to reach the company to try to bargain in good faith, ever. So they abandoned the workers.
The truth is, the union and the company were embroiled in legal battles that escalated to the state Supreme Court. The UFW made several contract proposals that were refused. In 2013, the court finally forced the company to agree to a contract negotiated by third-party mediators. But it is true that from the perspective of workers, the UFW was not much of a presence for years. The way Lopez says she experienced it, they just showed up saying, "We're ready to start collecting union dues."
They were notifying us. They didn't ask us. They tried to silence us. They tried to force us to make a contract.
So that's when Pick Justice formed in order to fight back against the union. We're going to hear from the other side, but I want to say two more things about the larger context of this fight. First, Rojas says he believes Latin American immigrants, especially undocumented immigrants like him, tend to be suspicious of unions.
So the very same unions and things that oppress 99% of my family who still lives in Colima, Mexico, the unions, the government abuse, it's the same thing that we see here in California now.
He and Sylvia Lopez say most workers aren't thinking of Cesar Chavez and the farm worker movement. They're just thinking of authorities who want to squeeze them for dues or worse, jeopardize their status in this country. Lopez claims she didn't have to convince people. They already got it.
Yeah, because they came from Mexico. They were running from that.
But this leads us to the other thing to know. Rojas and Lopez weren't fighting the UFW single-handedly. As soon as the owner of Garawan Farming caught whiff of the union's return, he started waging a campaign to win workers over to his side. Among other things, he gave everyone a raise and more bathroom breaks.
Our relationship with the company or the owners, it was great. You know, they go and visit us to the field. So I think that's a very good opportunity to talk to them if you have a problem at your work.
But because Lopez has always allied herself with the employer's effort to fend off the union, she was accused of being paid by him to organize, which is illegal.
And that's not truth. I'm not part of that. I don't work like that. I don't do those things.
Other workers have a very different story. According to some of them, the no vote wasn't about distrust for the union. It was about fear of retaliation from the employer. I met three supporters of the UFW as they got off work at a peach and nectarine orchard. The sun was going down, and we stood under the trees by the side of the road, shifting our weight to stay warm. It was pruning season, so these workers spend their days up on ladders with their arms over their heads. The first they heard about the union was from the company, warning that the union wanted to take 3% of their paycheck for dues. Aurelio Landa says he was turned off at first.
Because I've never worked with a union, and they're telling us the union's going to steal our money.
But then an organizer from the UFW convinced him that the contract that was already negotiated by the court-mandated mediators in 2013 was going to get workers a better deal than they were getting.
When I started to look at the benefits I was going to see through the union, they offered paid holidays and all of that. So that was the idea.
Agustin Garcia adds,
they offered salary increase, seniority, a grievance process, and they negotiated a good medical plan for the workers.
They say that when they started showing support for the union, the company began targeting them. They say they were both suspended for fabricated reasons.
They looked for any pretext, one way or another, to undermine the union by disciplining the workers that supported them.
Garcia says workers know about Garawan's history of retaliation. It is true that the company fired workers for supporting the union 25 years ago. He says they don't want to jeopardize what is a pretty good job for the industry. But he was still motivated.
More than anything, it's the pressure of living with this job. I have a family. I have three girls who go to school. I'm the only one supporting the family.
I met Garcia's three young daughters later that evening when he invited me to his house in downtown Fresno. The girls stared at me in polite silence, but immediately started climbing all over each other and falling off the couch as soon as we went back to talking. Here is what Garcia emphasized.
The thing about working here is you have to put up with the pressure, and the money isn't enough in any case.
He says there's nothing he likes about his job. He doesn't know if he'll be able to move into a house with more than one bedroom for all three of his girls. He doesn't know how he'll retire. He wants more from his employer. And the enemy of his enemy, that's the union. So that's where his allegiance lies. Eventually, Rojas, Lopez, and the PIC Justice Group collected enough signatures to force a new election. That took place in 2013. But before the votes were counted, the UFW filed another suit with the California Agricultural Labor Relations Board, saying there was foul play in the process. So the votes were impounded, and no one knew the outcome for 4 years until the lawsuit was settled. Here's Armando Elenes, the secretary-treasurer of the UFW.
They found that signatures were forgeries.
That's right. The ALRB did find evidence of foul play.
But yet, the ALRB chose to ignore that.
Finally, last November, the ALRB ruled that even though there had been unlawful activity, the results of the election would stand. Their reasoning? The vote tally. Out of the almost 1,300 Garawan employees, only 197 voted to keep the UFW. So even though there was evidence to back up what Garcia and Landa claimed to me, the ALRB decided the vote was too much of a landslide for it to be explained simply by a dirty campaign. But Elena still doesn't buy it.
The ALRB was unwilling to confront the political power that this company was gonna leverage and use.
In its ruling, the ALRB confirmed that Sylvia Lopez used company time to campaign, which is illegal. But no one was able to turn up evidence that Rojas's group, Pick Justice, was funded by the employer.
You know, I don't think we probably did enough in terms of figuring out where their funding was coming from. And then they also had no obligation to disclose where their funding is coming from.
Pick Justice is not required to publicly file taxes. It is required to file what's called a statement of information, which would tell us something about cash flow. But they haven't filed one, which is atypical, and they've paid a penalty for it. The two lawyers associated with Pick Justice, Anthony Raimondo and Richard Aaron, both represent big agribusinesses in the Central Valley, meaning Pick Justice's lawyers typically work on behalf of employers at companies like Garawan. But it's hard, if not impossible, to trace Pick Justice's money directly back to the owners of Garawan Farming.
Hi, I'm hoping to speak with Richard Aaron.
Both the owner of Garawan Farming and the lawyers associated with Pick Justice refused to take my calls or respond to my emails.
Would you like his voicemail?
I already left a voicemail.
Okay. Would you like to speak with the secretary?
Nope, I'll just try back again later.
Regardless of who financed what, Elenas admits the UFW was not at all prepared to take on the fight against them.
I don't think we really had enough of an idea that how big it was going to be. It was kind of like a race against the clock, and the clock ran out on us.
It's hard to tell what factors had the most sway over the outcome of the election. Was it Garawan's tactics, Jesse Rojas's messaging, the UFW's failure to maintain their credibility among farm workers? Some say it's the general climate of hostility toward undocumented immigrants. And could the UFW have overcome all of that if they'd put more resources into organizing?
I think there's definitely some lessons learned on the worker side. If we would had been able to convince them, you know, there was a possibility of changing their conditions, but we just didn't have the amount of staff that would need to be on all those different locations.
Not investing in organizing means that for a lot of these workers, the only information that they got came from the other side. They never even heard the union's case. Elenas explains that the UFW has other responsibilities besides organizing. For example, they draft and lobby for legislation.
We're very proud of, obviously, the fight that we did to improve the heat standards,
which better protects workers in California from the dangers of working during extreme temperatures.
Overtime legislation that we got passed.
And that closes loopholes at the federal level that allow employers to deny workers overtime pay in some cases.
And then, of course, you know, we still have our longstanding goal of some type of immigration reform for farm workers.
But Elena says in the last few years, they've shifted more resources over to their organizing and unionizing efforts.
It's definitely more of a priority. Some of the legislative stuff is, I mean, we're going to do that regardless, but we're really focused on growing the organization and continuing to improve conditions in the fields.
So that the next time the UFW faces pushback from an employer, it has the support to win. That takes organizing, which is expensive and labor-intensive. But recently, some unions, like those representing Bay Area hospitality workers and teachers, have recommitted to that work and won. But what happened at Garawan should also serve as a lesson for workers and unions. Don't bring a knife to a gunfight. In Fresno, I'm Liza Veal for Cross Currents.